and a very warm welcome to you again as we come together and as we share together in God's Word. It's been actually a really lovely time of worship, and it's amazing sometimes how God in his wisdom and in his sense of humor just puts things together, because in a way what I'm going to be talking about today, I think we've kind of lived it and experienced it this morning in some ways. And when we're going to Nehemiah chapter 8, you might get some understanding of that. And so we're going to be continuing a series on Nehemiah. And today we were going to look at Nehemiah chapter 7 and chapter 8, but I'm mindful we haven't really got too much time. And I wouldn't want to keep you forever here. So we're going to move straight on to chapter 8. And I'm going to quickly read the passage. So if you don't mind bringing it up, oh, brilliant. And it's 18 verses, but I'm going to read all of the verses. But you can just follow through yourself. All the people assembled as one man in the square before the water gate. They told Ezra the scribe to bring out the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded for Israel. So, on the first day of the seventh month, Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly, which was made up of men and women, and all who were able to understand. He read it aloud from daybreak till noon, and he faced the square before the water gate in the presence of the men, women, and others who could understand. And all the people listened attentively to the book of the law. Ezra the scribe stood on a high wooden platform built for the occasion. Beside him on his right stood Matithiah, Shema, Aniam, Uriah, Ilkiah, and Mashiah, and on his left were Pedah, Mishael, Malkijah, Hashem, Hashbadanah, Zechariah, and Meshulam. Ezra opened the book. All the people could see him because he was standing above them, and as he opened it, the people all stood up. Ezra praised the Lord, the great God. And all the people lifted their hands and responded, "Amen, amen." Then they bowed down and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. The Levites, Jeshua, Bani, Sherebiah, Jamin, Akub, Shabbatai, Hodiah, Masiah, Telita, Azriah, Dozabad, Hanan, and Pedai, instructed the people in the law while the people were standing there. They read from the book of the law of God, making it clear, and giving the meaning so that the people could understand what was being read. Then Nehemiah the governor, Ezra the priest and scribe, and the Levites who were instructing the people said to them all, "This day is sacred to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep, for all the people had been weeping as they listened to the words of the law." Nehemiah said, "Go and enjoy choice food and sweet drinks, and send some to those who have nothing prepared. This day is sacred to our Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." The Levites count all the people saying, "Be still, for this is a sacred day. Do not grieve." Then all the people went away to eat and drink, to send portions of food, and to celebrate with great joy, because they now understood the words that had been made known to them. On the second day of the month, the heads of all the families, along with the priests and the Levites, gathered around Ezra the scribe to give attention to the words of the law. They found written in the law, which the Lord had commanded through Moses, that the Israelites were to live in booths during the feast of the seventh month, and that they should proclaim this word and spread it throughout their towns and in Jerusalem. "Go out into the hill country and bring back branches from olive and wild olive trees, and for myrtles, palms, and shade trees to make booths as it is written." So the people went out and brought back branches and built themselves booths on their own roofs, in their courtyards, in the courts of the house of God, and in the square by the water gate, and the one by the gate of Ephraim. The whole company that had returned from exile built booths and lived in them. The whole company that had returned from exile built booths and lived in them. From the days of Joshua, son of Nun, until that day, the Israelites had not celebrated it like this, and their joy was very great. Day after day, from the first day to the last, Ezra read from the book of the law of God. The celebrated the feast for 7 days, and on the 8th day, in accordance with the regulation, there was an assembly. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to look at your word. The entrance of your word gives life, Lord, and it gives understanding to the simple. So, Lord, we ask this morning that we will be simple-hearted, Lord, as we come to your word. Lord, will you prepare our hearts? Will you give us a hearing ear? Will you give us a seeing eyes? Will you give us a heart of understanding? Lord, may you calm every noise and every distraction around us. And even in this short time, as we focus upon your word, Holy Spirit, will you just teach us? Will you speak to us? Will you cause your people to hear your voice in my voice, Lord, and speak to them in a way that only you can? And Lord, will you impact our lives? Will we all go out of this place this morning, understanding your word, and going out with great joy? In Jesus' name. Amen. As you've been following the series in Nehemiah, and those of you attending regularly, you will know we've been working our way through the book of Nehemiah, and we've looked at different aspects of it. And this morning, I think the topic was to talk about revelation. And looking at Nehemiah 7 and 8, and so if you want to give me the topic, I'll give you that. I was looking at the Cambridge Dictionary for the meaning of the word revelation. And it says the act of making something known that was a secret or a fact that is made known. And I was looking at some other dictionaries and they were saying it's like an act of revealing. It's an act of revealing or disclosing. And he actually put this tag there, and it's called theology. And it says, God's disclosure of himself and of his will to his creation. An instance of such communication or disclosure or something that is communicated or disclosed. So when we look at revelation, it's that act of making known what we didn't really know or understand previously. And I think as we look at this chapter, we actually see a template in God's Word that gives us an insight to how we can come in contact with the revelation of God's Word. And when I looked at it again, I guess in another way, you could actually title it revival. Because in some ways, when you actually look at what happened in chapter 8, at the end of that chapter, the people of God entered into a period of revival. So you could actually look at that template in chapter 8 to give you an idea of the reality of bringing revival amongst God's people. And this morning, we're going to look at it in the context of the corporate and our corporate life. But it's as real in our individual life as it is real in our corporate life. So the same principles we're going to look at this morning, as it applies to us as a body of believers gathering together in this community of God's people, is equally as valid for each one of us in our own individual lives, in our pursuits, and our seeking of divine revelation and understanding when it comes to God's word. Now, the first thing that struck me there in verse 1, as we go to it, it says the people came together and they came to Ezra. They recognized Ezra as a teacher. And when he wanted to understand the law, when he wanted to understand what was in it, they sought a man whose duty, primary duty, was to teach God's people, was to help them to understand. So they came to Ezra and they gave him the book of the law. And he said, Ezra, can you communicate? Can you try and help us to understand what has been written in this book? And so I'm going to make three quick points, really, as we look through it. And the first point is, the preparation of the heart as we encounter revelation. There is a preparation of the heart in order to be able to encounter revelation. And I'm just going to point that out very quickly when we look through this verses. It says, when the people came together in verse 1, you can project it.
All the people assembled as one man in the square before the water gate. They told Ezra the scribe to bring out the book of the law, which Moses the Lord had commanded from Israel to stew. So on the first day, they came together, men and women and all who were able to understand. It was not just the men who came. It says the men came, the women came, and everybody who could understand came together to Ezra to look at the book of the law. So we see a template for why on a Sunday morning like this, when we all come together, we bring the men, we bring the women, we bring the children. Everyone who can understand is prepared and is brought to the place so that they can have an encounter with the Word of God. And that preparation is very important. And if you look at verse 3, you know, one of the things that I thought was really important there, it says, all the people listened attentively to the book of the law. So they did not just come half-hearted. They did not just come willy-nilly. They did not just come doing other things while the law was being read. There was an intention about them as they came. Their intention was to listen. And they came and they listened attentively. They paid attention. There was a focus in their heart. So when they brought Ezra as the teacher of the law, the intention in their mind was that we are going to be focused. We're going to be attentive. We're going to pay attention to the law of the Lord. So there was that preparation of the heart. There was that understanding that they were going to come and do this. And if you look at it, as we read it, it says they actually spent from the morning till about noontime just listening to the law. That takes a lot of concentration. Many of us will struggle to be able to listen here for another hour if I keep going on. You just listen. And you'll be all away in your mind. But the people were gathered and they were able to sit and attentively listen to the word up till about noontime. So there was a great preparation of heart. There was that understanding. And you know, as we worshiped this morning, I felt the Holy Spirit asking me a question. As we were engaging and as the Spirit of God was moving this morning, I was asking myself in my heart, how many people are receiving anything of eternal value this morning as we all worship together? And I felt the Holy Spirit saying to me, the difference between what people are experiencing right now is very much hinged on the preparation of the heart. The one who has come this morning, and I think Tony brought that word, when he asked, what is your expectation this morning as you come into the house of God? And I felt the Holy Spirit saying to me, there will be people here this morning who are having a divine encounter with God. There will be people this morning who are seeing the seal of the Spirit do a surgical work of precision in their heart. There will be people this morning who will find the enabling grace of God beginning to deal with the issues of their heart. And yet, sadly, there will be people this morning who are completely oblivious of what the Spirit is doing amongst his people. And that's the reality. And what's the difference between those two groups? I think one of the differences, not the only difference, but one of the differences is in the preparation of the heart. It's in the preparation of the heart. For those who have come with an expectation, for those who have come wanting to engage with him, for those who have come who understand the principle of the gathering of God's people, for those who have an understanding that there is more together than as individual, that there is a geometric grace and a corporate anointing that is available when God's people gather, that takes you beyond what you can do for yourself. When you come with your heart prepared, you will experience something beyond what you can do for yourself. Because you are tapping into the grace of the corporate body to address the issues of your individual life and person. And that is valid, because that's the way he's ordained it. That's the way he has designed it. That is part of the way he brings revelation. That's not the only way, mind you. And I'm just not what I'm saying. And I paraphrase it from the beginning. But that is one of the ways he has ordained it. He says, it is blessed, it is good for brethren to dwell together in unity. Because what? There he commands his blessings upon them. He has commanded it. We don't need to cry. We don't need to jump up and down. We don't need to beg him to do it. When we come come together in unity of spirit. And our heart is prepared. We are tempted. We're seeking his hand in the unity of spirit. He's already given that commandment. It will happen. The Bible says, who has spoken? They say, when the Lord has not declared. And what he has declared, will it not come to pass? He has given a commandment. When we come together in unity of spirit, when our heart is prepared, when our heart is attentive, when we take note and understand the privilege of what it means to be with the gathered people of God, we will experience the blessings of God upon our gathering. It is as real as the heavenly breath. Because God says, my word will not fall to the ground. I will watch your light to seek to perform it and to do it and to make it happen. Just be careful of our time. I'll leave that bit there with the preparation. The second stage about it, like I said, is that they engage with the word. And one of the reasons why they were able to engage with the word was because their heart was already prepared. So as the word came, there was an engagement. How do I know that there's an engagement? The Bible says the people were weeping. Weeping in their heart as they heard the word of God is an evidence of conviction of the power of the word of God that was going for them. So that word was doing something in their heart. It just wasn't going there and going out there. There was a convicting that the word of God was doing. That is the power of the spirit. It says, the word that I speak to you, their spirit, their life. It says that word is quick and sharp. And any two-edged sword is like a hammer. It's like a fire. It purifies. It trashes. That is the power of his word. And it says that word inherently in itself has the ability to fulfill what it says. It says, it will not come back to be void. It will go forth and it will accomplish the purpose for which I have sent it. The word of God inherently has the power and the ability to bring what God has ordained about it. And that's what brings conviction. And when the conviction of sin comes, it's the people were weeping. Some of them, I'm sure, were weeping because they could see their failings. Some of them were weeping because it was like they were being reminded of the faithfulness of God. Some of them were weeping because they could see the beauty of that word in all of his glory once again. They're weeping for different reasons. And even as you're listening to me now, the word of God is doing different things in different people's hearts. Because we're not all in the same place. We're not all in the same point in our journey and our walk with God. Some of us are here this morning, rescued in the glory of God, running that race with great vigor and excitement, and the word of God is lifting and excitement. Some of us are in a place of disobedience and walk away from God. And the word of God is bringing a rebuke and a challenge. Some of us are in a place where we're weak and tired, and the word of God is lifting up your hand and strengthening your knees and encouraging you. Some of us are in a place where we're wondering, what do I need to do? And the word of God is bringing guidance and is bringing instruction. Some of us are wondering, what should I be doing? And the Holy Spirit of God right now is inspiring your heart and saying, to get involved in prisons, because that's my call for you. So that same word, the same word that's going on, is accomplishing different things and multiple and numerous things in the heart of the people as they are listening. So they engage with the word. And what's the final thing, just because of time? The first thing that the word does, it brings a fruitfulness. And how do I know this? Because as they engage with the word, as the word brings the conviction. But the word of God is not just to cause us to mourn and to weep. It says Ezra and Nehemiah and all the other people are calling and says, oh, listen, yeah. The conviction, the repentance is to bring us into a place where we can actually enter into joy and fruitfulness. And it says the joy of the Lord is your strength. Why should you stop weeping? Why should you stop crying? It says because it's a sacred day. It's a day that God has made. It's a day that he has designed for the working of the word, the engagement of the word in each of our hearts will bring us to a place of obedience. And when we come into a place of obedience, that will bring us into increasing fruitfulness. And that will bring us to a place of joy. Now, let's be careful when we read that verse. It says, joy in the Lord. Not joy in my situation. Not joy in my circumstances, not joy in my person, not joy in who I am, what I have, my bank balance, whether I be black or red, my personality, my persona, my charisma, whatever it is, no. It is joy in the Lord. Joy in the Lord is a fruit of the Spirit. joy is a fruit of the Spirit. The joy that we're talking about is the joy that God himself generates, and that comes from a heart of obedience. And it says there, the people went away rejoicing. And one of the reasons why they were rejoicing was why? It says because now they understood what the word of the Lord was. And suddenly they realized, we've never celebrated the Feast of the Tabernacles in its proper way. It says right from the time of Joshua, they've never done it. They've never actually built proper booths and done it the way God had ordained from the beginning. And what happened? They went. Immediately, it says they went out. And they were getting the olives, getting all the trees, and they were doing it. When there is a genuine engagement with the Word of God, there is spring in our steps to step out and begin to do what God wants us to do. Not because we have any strength in ourselves, but because that joy that springs forth from Him gives us the ability, gives us the strength, takes us beyond ourselves to step out and to begin to live out exactly what God has commanded us. We struggle to be able to walk in obedience to God because we haven't caught the revelation of what God is sharing with our heart. We haven't had an engagement with the Spirit. The Holy Spirit has not done His work in us. When that work is done in us, through His work, through His revelation, He will give us the strength and the ability not just to hear, but to begin to do. He said, it is God who is at work in you. Because so you not just to will, but to do of His good pleasure. He says, you have been created. Workman, you know, good workman. He says, good work that He has ordained before the foundation of the world, that we can all begin to work out and to live out in Christ Jesus. An example is what we are here this morning. As our sister shared about what is happening in the prison, that is what the grace of God. She was telling you about how they engage the word of God and they understand what grace is and it brings them into a newness. That's somebody who's engaged with the word of God. That's what it brings. That's the fruitfulness and the power of what we carry in our hands. So like the people of Israel, when we understand that, we will have a different engagement with God's word. If we genuinely and truly understand that, the preparation of our heart when we come onto a Sunday service will be very different. Not just a Sunday service, even in your weekly meetings, even in your conversations with your brothers and sisters, when you realize the power that is in your hands and the ability to transform and to change and to make things different, what people in a different attitude. Just in closing, I know I've run out of time. Just one more thing I wanted to share here. The people recognized Ezra was a teacher. And it was interesting when I was reading this, because the Bible says they gave him a platform. They gave him a platform, and he stood on the platform and he was teaching, so that everybody could hear it, and everybody could benefit from it. And I was thinking, I'm actually on a platform, and I'm teaching, and I'm preaching the word. This platform is not to raise me up. This platform is not about me. This platform is about recognizing the gift that God has put on teachers that He has put in the house. And I just really want to pray with you. I feel the Lord just putting this on my heart this morning. What you do not honor and what you do not respect will not bring any blessing to you. If those people had gone to Ezra and thought, who is it? What does he have to say? What does he know that I don't know? Just leave him there and let's get on with it. They will not receive the blessing of his ministry. The gift of bringing the word of God and understanding the word of God, it's only profitable to those who come with a heart that is humble, with a heart that is simple. Because you're not recognizing the man who is standing on the platform. You're recognizing the grace of the life of the man who is standing on the platform. You're recognizing that he has ordained that the duty of his teachers is to bring the word of God. And even if it's a donkey that is bringing the word of God, if your heart is open, and if you recognize the grace, you will receive your blessing. Jesus says, if you do it to as many of these, you will receive the reward. So if you do not honor and you have no understanding of the place of the one who brings the word, you cannot receive the blessing of the word. And even if it's the most charismatic and the most profound preacher, it will still do you nothing because your heart is not right. So when we come to the word, not just when a man is speaking it, But even when you're going to the Word of God, you must approach it. If you see that, when Ezra before Abraham, it says the people, they prayed to the great God of heaven. They bowed their hearts, they prayed, they worshiped before they began to receive the Word. There was a recognition that this is God's Word, this is God's law, this is God's truth. And there's something of eternal value that will make a difference in my life. Can I just plead with you? That when you come to the world, whether it's the youth in your pastoral time, or you're listening to anybody, it's not them you're listening to. You're listening to God. You're seeking the voice of God in their voice. You're asking Him to take His word and to do something miraculous and something supernatural in your heart. And if that's the place of your heart, God is not unfaithful. He's not an irresponsible father. When you come with Him, He says, even you good fathers, or even you evil fathers, you know how to give good things to your children. When they ask you bread, do you give them stones? When they ask you fish, do you give them scorpions? He says, even if you are evil, know better than that. How much more you have? So when you come to His word, know that He's prepared a table before you, that He's a banquet for you. Let us pray. I just want to give you a few minutes just to reflect on what we shared this morning. And I appreciate that I've just kind of rushed through some of it, but I trust the Lord will just spit it into your heart. Do the band want to come?
The reality of your word to us this morning. Lord, we thank you more importantly that more than we could ever desire, just like Alan said at the beginning of this meeting, there's so much more that you want to reveal to us. No matter how much we think we already know of you, there's so much more that you want to give us. Lord, will you just help us to get a fresh understanding of what it means to engage with you in your word? And Lord, we desire a fresh revelation from you, Lord, a new understanding. Lead us into secrets. Lead us into things we don't know. Or even remind us of the things we know that we've forgotten. Or just encourage us with the things we know so that we can continue in them. But Lord, this morning we just pray by your Holy Spirit, Lord, that you just expand this truth in our heart. As we grow, Lord, will you continue just to speak to us and show us even much more things in your word in Jesus' name.